Jane. I'm an alcoholic.
I'm Jane.
Glad to be here. I'm not like Dean and George. They drank for different reasons than I did. I did not have fun. I wanted to have fun, and if I was still having fun, I would still be drinking. I want you to know that. It's just that all that other stuff got in the way. There's a lot of obstacles that seem to happen with drinking, and all our stories are different, so if you don't identify with me, wait for the next speaker, because it will be a different story. But I'm one of those people. I feel I was born alcoholic. I was always ill at ease. And I was born into a wonderful alcoholic home, so I come from good stock. No one in my family has even thought about recovery. I've been sober 39 years, and none of them have even asked me about being sober. As a matter of fact, when I was 20 years sober, I went and visited my mother, and she says, "I got you your favorite wine." And I thought, I don't even remember what my favorite wine is. So I happened to be on the phone with another alcoholic in California, and he heard her say that, and he said, "She got you what?" So they have no idea about sobriety, don't care, don't want to. And, I think the good news for me is my mother's in her 80s, and she's a heavy drug user and drinker. And, the only physical problem she's ever had is her gallbladder did blow out that, one time. But I guess that's all you need to die is that one time. But she's been able to carry on. So I think the good news for me is that with sobriety, I can probably stay pretty healthy. So it's an amazing disease. I really did all I could to drink myself to death. When I say that I was ill at ease, I really had problems from the gate. And I want you to know that the first time I drank to get drunk and I felt the effects of alcohol, I no longer cared what you thought about me, and I didn't care what I thought about you. And before that, now, I was a really homely little kid. I was really, really skinny. I was a little girl that had her socks slide down in her shoes all the time because there wasn't enough ankle there to grab on for the sock to grab onto. I had buck teeth, thick glasses that were always broken, and my mother insisted on cutting my hair short, and I have 5 cowlicks, so it always stood in disarray. And I was a tomboy. I loved to wrestle, climb trees, and beat up my brothers. So it was. I thought I had a wonderful life, but with all my brothers, I would go to school, and I would run home from school, hoping that no one would know where I lived. And we lived 2 blocks from school, and we were the second house from the corner on the main street. And I had 3 brothers that were all, were all stair-stepped. So there was no way in hell no one was not going to know where I lived, But I had this mental twist going on that I could somehow, some way control and enjoy the impression people had of me. And so people would look at me, I just described how I look physically, and they'd have this, my mother would say, "Well, this is our little girl," and their faces would kind of go into this expression, and I could just see myself standing there with my hand on my hip, "I hate you," is what I was saying inside. But they'd go, "Oh, what a cute little girl." And I just take that in, and the boys teased me about my buck teeth, and anyway, I can go on for that for hours. But anyway, this alcohol took effect, and all that went away. All that went away. And I wanted to feel that way forever. And I never quite got the jolt of alcohol or any drugs I took afterwards, after that, that eased that discomfort. It seemed like it could manage it for a little while, but it never took it away. I was always running from that. I got sicker as time went on. I know that when I got here, somebody was saying they could tell an alcoholic. I could tell you guys were all alcoholics. I could readily see that. But I could not. I could not understand that I am an alcoholic. And if you're sitting here tonight and you don't understand you're an alcoholic, then wait for a while, because what I finally got is that I could not recover from a disease I didn't have. So if I don't have alcoholism, I cannot recover from it. And it took a long time for me to begin identifying exactly within me what is alcoholism. What does it feel like? What does it look like? And after a while, listening to my own thinking and getting practice at listening to my own thinking, because what I finally began to learn is about the strange mental blank spot. I have a strange mental blank spot. I'm suffering from it right now. I just can't see it. And I can't understand at times why I can't see what is right in front of me to see. So this program is spiritual in nature. My only hope is that I have some connection with a higher power. And I have authority problems. I want you to know I had them from the gate. In the second grade, I stood up because Sister Superior was pressuring me. I felt she was pressuring everybody that we weren't going to have a class picnic because somebody wasn't picking up their ice cream wrappers from the playground, and I wanted to know who that was. And I wanted to know why she was threatening us. And so I wanted to call off the picnic because I couldn't stand the threat anymore. So I stood up, and Sister Superior's face was not that happy. She had me write 100 times, "I will not question the authority of Sister Superior." So when I went home and wrote it, I wrote 100 times, "I will blank question the authority of Sister Superior." And then went back and filled in the knots, and I really thought that was really getting her. You know, I really, like I said, I had this twist. And that was not to be undone for a long time. And today I'm still not totally relieved of it. So I want you to know that I need this program today more than I needed it when I walked in here 39 years ago. I could not stay sober. I got drunk again after I got here, 6 months after I got here. And that was a significant turn of events for me. I became willing. I became willing to do something. I can't say that I was going to do whatever it takes because I didn't know what that meant. And I'm so grateful today that I didn't know what, when they say in Alcoholics Anonymous, all you have to do is change everything. You know, that's all Alcoholics Anonymous asks of you. And I got to tell you, I was sitting deep in depression in a meeting one more time, and I heard a newcomer say that. Alcoholics Anonymous just requires that you change everything. And the thought came to me every day. Alcoholics Anonymous requires that I change everything every day. So I have to be ready and willing and open. So thank you.